You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must-have, an absolute must-add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible, and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life, are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it, you can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to another week here on the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Pat Quinn. And a little bit about Pat Quinn. He is a speaking coach. He's the chief product officer at Advance Your Reach, and he is actually also a former magician. All right. So on this episode, a few of the things we talk about is we talk about how every season of your life actually has a different purpose, and you have different seasons, and that's perfectly normal. And we also talk about, you know, how did Pat go from being a magician to a teacher to then setting him up for what he's doing in his life today. And this will really, I think, be impactful for many of you as you're going into a new season of your life to really show you how every season has really set you up for the next season if you look at it in the right way. We pull all that apart on the episode. And we also talk about how if you change your story, you will change your life. All right, we're going to dive into that in a deep way that really will be massively powerful for a lot of you. And so that is what we are going to cover on today's episode, and a lot more juicy stuff with Pat. If you have not yet, please make sure to go to iTunes, leave us a rating, a review there. Just let us know what you liked about this episode, right? Tell us, what do you want more of? Comment in there. And also, if you're listening on Spotify, Spotify has a cool new feature where you can go in and you can actually leave us a rating there as well. So if you're listening on either of those, please leave us a rating, a review. We would be extraordinarily grateful. And without that, my friends, we are going to dive in. Here we go. All right, Pat Quinn, welcome to the podcast, man. I am excited for you to be here today. Thanks for being here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so as we dive into, you know, our conversation today, I would love it if you could give our listeners kind of a little inside look to what was life like for little Pat, or maybe you were little Patrick growing up. What was life like when you were a little kid?
Life was good for me growing up. I had a great family and a great neighborhood that I lived in where we all played and had fun together. I had parents that taught me to dream big, and I could do anything I wanted to do. I couldn't do everything I wanted to do, but I could do anything that I wanted to do if I put my mind to it and worked on it. So that really opened up a world of possibilities, and they encouraged me in my interests and dreams. And that set me up for really dreaming big and believing that I could take steps forward anytime I put my mind to it.
Yeah, I love it. And so, like, let's say, because it is interesting, right? Some of the things were instilled as a little kid. I mean, follow us for the rest of our life. And fortunately for both of us, we had good messages instilled in us, right? Obviously, there's some people that don't have good messages, and then you got to work to change those patterns, those, you know, words playing in your head of, rather than, hey, you can do anything. You know, if someone said, hey, you're not going to amount to much, you got to work on those things. And so I'm curious, like, as you go throughout your life, you have these messages, hey, dream big, you can do anything with your life. I'm curious, as you started to come to, let's say, like your 20s, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do with your life? You know, where was these messages you were taught as a kid, where did they start to go, and what things did they start to turn into when you were, you know, in that early 20s?
Yeah, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional magician, and I was one. I'd seen a magic show when I was in probably fourth grade. I started playing around with magic. My parents encouraged me. Yeah. They hooked me up with a professional magician as a mentor.
Really?
I started doing magic shows in high school, which gave me money to buy more magic and put myself through college doing magic, and then came out of college as a professional magician and worked magic for about 10 years professionally. So I was living the dream. Or a dream. Yeah. I was living a dream, I should say, not the dream, because it's not a perfect... It's a rough way to make a living. You're moving around a lot. There's not a lot of security. It's a fun way for a period of time, for a season of your life. And I think it's one of the things I've learned, is that the job that was right for me when I'm 20 wasn't necessarily the job that was right for me when I was 30 and had a wife and kids. And that's not the job that I'd want now that I'm 50. So I think there's a season for everything. And I was a professional magician in that season, but that wasn't my lifetime. And I'm not sure I want a lifetime job. I have a job for this season of life.
Right. Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, what an interesting thing for your parents to say, you want to be a magician. Let's hook you up with someone that's extremely good at this and successful at this and has made a living from this. Genius on their part. Right. And I'm curious, as you were probably a teenager when you were introduced to that person?
Yeah, it was actually the magician that I saw when I was in fourth grade. We went back to him, and he
amazing.
Was amazing. He was a practicing magician in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I lived, and he was making a living. He made a living till the day he died in Milwaukee as a professional magician.
Wow. What was the biggest lesson you got from him as you were a teenager pursuing this dream you had?
You know, I think it's got to be your dream. It shouldn't be somebody else's dream. I think there's a lot of people who get into any profession and they want to be the top guy. Like, you know, his advice to me was like, don't try to be David Copperfield, or at the time Doug Henning, or maybe now it's Chris Angel or David Blaine. Yeah. Like, don't try to be that guy, because it's not that you won't, but you probably won't. But even if you aren't, you can make a great living doing this. You know, I coach speakers now, professional speakers, and everybody wants to be Tony Robbins, or everybody wants to be Grant Cardone or Damon John. And I'm like, You don't have to be Tony Robbins to make a huge living being a professional speaker. Like, yeah, there's thousands of people who make a great living, have great lives. You've never heard of them. They aren't Tony. They aren't Tony. So, like, I just think making sure it's your dream, not somebody else's dream, and recognizing that you can have the life that you want without being the one person you know in this profession.
So real. And I think one thing I'd be curious and one thing I want to point out is it's like, for anyone that's listening to this and does have something, an idea of what they want to do, it's like the importance of saying, if there's someone out there that inspired you to have that dream, if there's someone else out there that's doing what you're doing, like, send them a message. You know what I mean? Like, your parents were audacious enough to say, hey, let's reach out to this guy that inspired you in fourth grade. And it turned into something that, I mean, I think we could say changed your life, that relationship, right? And so it's like those little messages that you may think someone's not actually going to respond to that could turn into something that impacts your life in a big way.
Yeah, he loved the relationship too, I believe. And he told me that often that, you know, there are some people who have reached a certain level in their profession, and one of their big missing pieces is they haven't given back. They haven't passed it on to the next generation. They haven't had a chance to mentor someone. And just about every step of my life, when I've asked for that, the person has been not only gracious enough to say yes, but also really feel like they benefited from it as much as I did.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing where I used to want to be into action sports, like snowboarding, skateboarding, all that. And I would go and seek out people in the industry. Like one person I got to, you know, pick his brain and hang out with a bit was Rob Dyrdek, who's a big person in the industry. And my dad used to always be like, well, like these people are like, he couldn't quite grasp his head around, like, they're not going to help you for free. Like it doesn't just, they're not just going to say yes and teach you these, like they got time and they're busy, but it's such a truth that there's so much gratification and fulfillment, and they gain so much in that relationship that people really will, if you're sincere, genuine, you got a good heart and you have a good purpose behind why you're asking, like they get so much benefit from helping you. And it's, I think, this beautiful thing that if you can understand that and then execute on that in your life, it's amazing for both people. It's really cool.
Yeah. And I've been the benefit of that a number of times. So it's been a great relationship.
Yeah. So let's say we're in your magic world and you're doing this for 10 years, right? Professional magician, which I loved magic growing up. So I'm very tempted to almost ask you to do a magic trick, but we're not going to do that. But that's so cool. I was a kid that I was like, I bought a magic kit and that's as far as I got. So you were goals for that phase of my life. If I could have been a professional magician at one point, that would have been cool. But
so close. You were so close.
I bought the kit. I had a few tricks, but you know, I didn't make it. But let's say we like keep going through your life and, you know, eventually a year of doing this, which is probably great, turns into 5 years, which is really cool, which turns into 8 years, which all of a sudden 10 years start to come around. And I'm curious for you, like what was happening inside of you where you were like, all right, this is coming to an end.
You know, I was moving on to a different season of life. I got married. I had two small kids, and magicians make their money on weekends and evenings. And I didn't want to be gone on weekends and evenings anymore because I wanted that to be time with my family. And so I became a public school teacher. I taught high school math for 12 years. And then I transitioned out of that and started training teachers specifically and speaking professionally at teacher events and helping teachers transition out of teaching or into teaching in a different position and as consultants. So I kind of, for a decade there when I was raising my kids, I transitioned into a more traditional job, worked during the week, and then then took those skills, kind of combined the two skills. So now, you know, now I coach professional speakers around the world. I really take a little bit of the magic and the stagecraft that I learned from there.
Yeah.
Combined it with how people learn, remember, and hear a speaker from my years of teaching, and put it together to help people be super effective when they're telling their stories, really effective when they're presenting, whether they're on the phone with one person, on a podcast or webinar in front of 1,000 people, or on stage in front of 100 people in a hotel ballroom. How can it be as effective as possible?
Right. Love that. And I'm curious, like, what, so magic's no more, kids, and I, that totally makes sense, right? I've had portions of my life where it's a lot of evening speaking and weekend speaking. And eventually you're like, all right, this is not sustainable for a great quality of life. Like it doesn't add up. And so for you, what took you to teaching, like math teacher? What, you know, where did that come in as the next thing? Were you inspired by a math teacher as a kid, or how did that come into play?
My mom was a teacher. A lot of teachers are multi-generational. They have a lot of family members who are teachers. It's kind of part of the profession. Mm-hmm. But it also was a great utilization of my skill set. I was good at math.
You're probably a really cool teacher.
It's also an opportunity like a magic trick day. Here. It's an opportunity every day to stand up and present. An opportunity every day. It's not that different from being a magician. You're holding attention. You're directing attention. And it's not that different from being a professional speaker. I mean, professional speakers and everybody who wants to speak better always says, well, who should I watch if I want to be a better speaker? And my answer is always the same, David Copperfield. Nobody controls the audience's attention like magicians do. And that's what a great speaker does. That's what a great teacher does. They control the audience's attention. And so it's really taking the skill set that you have and then designing a life around it. And so the skill set that I had in my 20s, it was fun to go to different places and travel and be out on weekends and putting on shows. In my 30s, that wasn't so fun. So I took the skill set and parlayed it into a 9-to-5 job, you know, that I didn't have to think about on the weekends. I could just hang out with my kids, had the whole summer off to coach their teams and get off of school with them. And then after that, I parlayed the same skill set into a job that allows me to travel when I want to travel, work with some people who are amazing people. So I'm a believer that if you can identify those skills, you can parlay them and design the life of your dreams by thinking about how can I apply that skill into a job that I get to create almost on my own and write it from scratch.
Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful distinction as well, because I think sometimes what I've seen, at least with people, when you're, like you said, you have seasons of life where we do different things. That's, I think, just the nature of life, especially in today's world. But I think sometimes as a season comes to a close, sometimes our brain goes to, this is all I know. This is all I have. This is the only thing that I'm good at. When just like you said, it's like, well, if you can kind of pick apart what you've done for the last season and ask yourself, what are the skills that you've gained in this? There's so many other things that it's like, you may be doing one thing, like magic, and you go teaching and people go, those are two different, entirely different things. But if you really look at it, there's a lot of overlays. And I think as we go into new seasons of our life, often if we can really pick apart and look at, just like you said, what are the skills, you can take that into so many other things that are the right thing for the next season of your life that you're stepping into. And I just hope that anybody that's listening to this, that's looking to change seasons, take some time to get to know yourself and ask yourself, what are the skills I've learned over the last few years? Because it was definitely not a waste of your time. And if you really are smart about it, it can actually set you up for a beautiful another season.
Yeah, I think the skills piece is one half of it. I think the other half of it is, what do you love to do? The word that we use when we're helping people get clarity on their business, when we're coaching people on putting together a speaking or consulting business, is passionate expert. Expert is the skill set that you have. But passionate is the fact that when you're doing this, time disappears. Passion is the idea that if you had to do this every day, 7 days a week, 40 hours, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, that wouldn't be a burden. That would be a blessing. Yeah. And I just think there's a lot of people who are starting businesses or taking jobs, and if it actually works the way that they designed it, they're going to hate their lives. I see it all the time. People are like, oh, I'm going to start a coaching business. I'm going to coach people one-on-one. And I'm like, if you ever got 30 coaching clients, and you met with them one-on-one once a week, would you love that? Yeah. They're like, oh, that would be terrible. That would be like, I just have to sit inside and meet with them, you mean? Like, I would hate that. I'm like, then why are you designing? Like, you're designing a business. I'm designing a business where I speak. Okay, so like, you like getting on airplanes and flying to Pittsburgh? Like, that's what you like? Because that's what speaking is. Speaking is getting on an airplane and flying to Pittsburgh. That's the business. Would you like that 200 days a year? No, I hate airports. I hate the security. I hate everything about it. I'm like, okay, well then you're designing a life that if it works, you'll hate it. Yeah. Like, so that's why I think the expert thing is super important and super smart. You got to have, how can I take these skills and use them to design the life that I would love? But the other half of it is, what do I love doing? Do I love the one-on-one? Do I love conversation? Or do I love travel? Do I love doing it all in front of a camera on Zoom? Or do I love being in the room with people? Do I love being in groups of people or one-on-one? Do I mind sitting in my basement or a cubicle by myself? Do I love that? Some people do. Other people hate that.
Yeah,
you've got to think about that. Otherwise, my fear for everyone is that if your plan works, you'll hate it. And that's the worst, I think, when you spend time trying to achieve something. And I think it's probably happened to all of us. Like, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then when I get it, I hate it. There's no worse feeling because you've invested and you've told others. And then you're embarrassed and you're afraid to change again because then you'll get a reputation of somebody who just bounces around too much. And I'm like, hey, put that thought in up front. But if it does happen, just change again because nobody wants to be in a job that you hate.
Yeah, you don't have to sit in it. Like, if you don't like it, do something about it.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news for 2021. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
And one thing I'm curious, and you said all that extremely beautifully, right? It's like, you got to, what's your expertise? And then also, what's the passion? Because if you don't have the passion in it, it's like, you got to have something that brings you alive, right? And I'm curious, like, because I am a similar believer to you. It's like, you gotta be passionate about what you do. You gotta love what you do. You know what I mean? Don't suffer through this thing called life. But I'm curious, like, let's say there's someone that's listening to this. They're going, yeah, like, Pat, that's all great, but that's not realistic. What would your response be to someone like that?
My response, I think it's twofold. So first, there's never been a better time to be alive. There's never been a time where there's more opportunity, where it's easier to start a business, where it's easier to write your own ticket. Between the job market right now and technology allowing us to do just about anything from anywhere in the world. Like, you can, if you want to work the McDonald's drive-through in Los Angeles, you don't have to be in Los Angeles. You can remotely do that and be the person who says, hey, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order? You can be sitting in Indianapolis running the drive-through at a McDonald's in Los Angeles. You don't have to be there for just about almost anything. You don't have to be in one spot. So you do get to design it from the ground up. So it's a great opportunity and a great time. Yeah. Second thing I want to just encourage people is, you don't have to be extraordinary to do this. I think there's some people probably listening to this saying, well, that's great for you. You were a magician, like you're one in a million. Or you look at somebody who's super successful, like they're a really good speaker or they're a world-class athlete. I think there's almost more opportunity in the ordinary than there is in the extraordinary. Like, if all you do every day is put on a meal for your kids, and you do it every, you just make dinner every night for your kids. Do you know how many people would love help putting on dinners for their kids every night? Like, putting healthy, nutritious meals together. Yeah. If all you do every day is, you know, just download podcasts so you have something to listen to on the way to work. Do you know how many people would like help picking the best podcasts that they can listen to on the way to work? Ordinary is almost better than extraordinary right now. And the reason for that is it's easier to have customers, to have audience, to have people who need what you're talking about. If your life experience is one in a million, you can help one in a million people. But if your life experience is ordinary and it's one in every household, well, there's an awful lot of people who need your help with that. And if your life experience has been a little mundane and boring because you do the same thing every single day, think about what you do every single day. Pick a part of it that you do really well because you do it every single day.
Yeah.
And start teaching other people how to do it better. Start helping other people who are just as bored doing that as you are. Form a community. I mean, there's just so many opportunities. And I think what holds people back is, that's great for you. Your life has been extraordinary. And it isn't. I was raised in a suburb with two parents and three kids and a middle class house with middle class school and a middle class college. And it's a very ordinary life, but I've taken the ordinary and said, other people are having this ordinary experience too. Let's talk about those things. Or to me, ordinary stories are always better than extraordinary stories.
Yeah. I love that. Right. And it's just like you said, like so many more people can relate to it because they're not like, oh, well, I'm never going to do that with my life. So,
exactly.
So I'm curious. So, math teacher for 12 years, then if we go back to this moment again, just to follow the storyline of your life, what clicked in you at that point that you were like, all right, my teaching season is closing and I'm now going to, and I know you mentioned you had started to train some teachers, but did it come to a point where that was just so much of your time that you couldn't teach or?
Yeah, so I was teaching while I was training other teachers, and there's this moment where the lines kind of cross. Yeah. And also your passion, like sometimes when you're trying something new, you realize that you're, even though you're spending 40 hours a week doing one thing and 5 hours a week doing something else, in your off time, you're spending 90% of your time thinking of the side hustle and 10% of your time thinking of the main gig. And to me, as long as you can make the income picture work and those lines are getting close to each other, that's the time to switch. You'll know when your heart changes. You'll know what you're thinking about when you fall asleep and what you think about when you wake up. And if that's your side hustle, that's the time to make your side hustle your main hustle, as long as you can get the income thing to work out. And so I was thinking much more about helping other schools than helping my own school. And I made the switch to helping other schools and helping other teachers do amazing things. And that's how I knew it was time to switch.
Gotcha. And so
it was also a season of life thing. I had the flexibility at that point because my kids were leaving home and going to college.
Nice.
And so it was a season of life thing that a little more travel would have been, a lot more acceptable at that point.
Yeah. I love it. And at first, was it you were just teaching and speaking at schools and helping other schools and helping teachers? And that's sort of where that first season of speaking started?
Yeah. In the beginning, I think if you're starting your own business and you're thinking, I want to start a business, I'm a big believer that the best group of customers to start your first business or your next business is a group that you belong to. So like I was a teacher. And so I started serving teachers. I already spoke their language. I knew all their problems and they trusted me. I was one of them.
Yeah.
And so, I started a business for parents. I did that while I was a parent. I wrote a book for parents and I did some speaking around parents and I knew their problems because I was one. I spoke their language and they trusted me. If I stand up and say, I don't have any kids, I'm going to show you how to better raise your kids. They'll be like, what? You don't have any kids? Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
But I said, I'm a parent of two kids. I want to talk to you about kids. They're like, oh, you're one of us.
Yeah.
You're one of us. There was a point in my life where my parents were older and we had to make some difficult decisions. And I partnered with someone in town here and we started a business to help people in transition with their parents. And that was the group at the time that I belonged to. Yeah. I knew their problems. Man, it's hard to take the car away from your parents. It's just a terrible time in your life when you have to tell your parents they can't drive anymore. To move your parents out of the family home that they've lived in for 50 years into a different place is excruciating on a family.
Yeah.
And at that period of my life, I was in that group. So when I spoke to that group and solved problems for that group and helped train that group, like I knew their problems, man. I was experiencing their problems. I knew the language. I knew the language of nursing home applications and of powers of attorney and all that stuff because I was in the group. I think the easiest way to start a business is to start a business, or the easiest way to serve others is to serve a group that you belong to because you know their problems, you speak their language, and they trust you.
Yeah, that is ridiculously simple, but ridiculously profound, where it's like, who else is better to serve than the people you're like going through it with, right? And if you learn some things that can help them, it's...
Just solve a problem that you deal with every day. This is why I say ordinary stories are the key to the whole thing. Like, I live a very boring, ordinary life. Yeah, I come home from work, I sit and watch Netflix, I go to bed. Okay, well, where's the problem here? I'm out of shows on Netflix. Okay, solve it for others. Like, you know the problem. You speak the language. Go solve it for others. Like, ordinary is so good. The mundane is where the gold is in your life. And I think sometimes because it seems ordinary to us, because we're like, well, I'm nothing. I've talked to so many people who are like, oh, but the people you work with have all these extraordinary things. They've written books. And it's true. I coach somebody who's been to the top of Mount Everest. I coach two different astronauts who've been in space. But when they tell those stories, nobody can relate to it.
Right.
But when somebody else tells a story about, you know, arguing with their spouse about whether the toilet paper should come out over the top of the roll or under the bottom of the roll, like everybody in the room just leans into that. Like, oh, that's we have that argument too. I know exactly what you're talking about. We bicker about those little things. And it's like, well, if you can solve that for somebody, that's just a better thing to solve, because that's better than solving how you get into space without throwing up, because nobody's going to experience that, but everybody's going to experience bickering over some little thing that turns into a big argument. Solve the little problems in the mundane parts of life. Mm. And I just think you'll parlay any skill set that you have into the life of your dreams.
Yeah. I love one thing I heard you say when I was doing some of my research as well, where you were like, what's one problem you can solve for this? The people, right? Or so let's say you have the people that you're a part of, and what's one problem you can solve for them? And it's like, you take the pressure off that you don't need to be the best and know everything about everything. It's like, it's simple, you know, but it's powerful.
Well, that's the key to not being nervous when you speak. When I tell people I help public speakers, they're like, oh, I could never do that. That makes me so nervous. And the real reason why speaking makes you nervous is because you think you have to solve all their problems and you have to be the smartest person in the room. And you don't have to do either.
Wild.
They don't want you to be the smartest person in the room. They should feel like the smartest person in the room. And they don't want you to solve all their problems. They want you to solve one problem. And that's why you're there that day. And if you walk in and solve that one problem, you, by the way, you're really good at solving that problem. So you don't have to be nervous about it. You solve it every day for yourself, for others. I mean, that's the key to getting over stage fright, being nervous when you speak. It's just limiting the scope. Just limiting the scope. I'm here to solve this one problem.
Yeah. I love it. So let's say we jump to current season of life, right? You're coaching people that are speaking on stages of all shapes, sizes, virtually, in person, all, you know, people that are bringing messages to the world, and you're helping them do it in a way that it's like, it's hitting people in their heart, right? It's like really, it's life changing for, it's changing millions of lives, we could say, truly. And I'm just curious, what would you say is one of your favorite parts of the current season of your life that you're living in?
Well, what I love doing now is helping people who don't realize they have a story that could change lives. My favorite part of my job is the moment that light bulb comes on. Like, like, you think your life was ordinary. You think your life has nothing special. So because of that, you think you don't have a story to tell. And if you're listening to this and that's you, I just want to encourage you that the more ordinary your story is, the more people you should tell it to. Because there's somebody out there right now struggling with an ordinary problem that you've already solved. And even if you haven't solved it yet, just talking about the problem that you have lets other people know that they're not alone. Lets other people know that there's hope. Let other people know that there's community. And I just, my favorite part of my job is that moment when somebody who thinks there's nothing special about my story realizes, if I would share this story, it would serve others.
Yeah.
You might do that for money and make a living out of it, or you might just do it to serve others.
Yeah.
But do it. Tell your story. And if the more ordinary your story is, the more times you should tell it, because it's going to help more and more people.
I love it. Well, Pat, you are a wealth of knowledge, man. It's been cool to go through your story. Actually, one question I have before the last two things I want to ask you. When you speak now, do you do magic at all within your speaking?
No, I'm retired as a magician. I was a children's magician. Dang. And that's how I made a go of it, was doing birthday parties and kids shows. So if I was going to do a magic trick for you, first thing, you'd have to back up 20 feet. And second, I'd have to have everything in just the perfect position with nobody next to me. And the conditions would have to be just perfect for that. No, I think the real magic is when you're speaking, is giving the audience an experience where they can relate to it. I think a lot of people, when they speak, they think, oh, my job is to separate myself from the audience. And so they tell stories about the time they did something no one else has ever done, the time they were the best or the fastest or the most rare, extraordinary experience in the world. And the net effect of that is that you separate yourself from the audience. As compared to if you would say a story in your presentation or in a speech or even on a phone call with somebody, the goal is to get them to nod their heads and say, that same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
And if you have an audience full of people and you tell a story and every single one of them nods their heads and says, I know exactly what you're talking about. That same thing happened to me. That's when you're really serving, because you brought a group of people together who didn't realize they had something in common.
Yeah.
And you showed them the common human experience that we are not alone, that we're in this together, that there are solutions and there is hope. And that's when the real power starts to happen with the telling of your story.
Yeah. So still magic, just different types of magic.
Exactly.
To clarify, there's still some magic going on. So, Pat, I'm curious, man, if people want to get more info on you, see what you're up to, just, yeah, all those good things. Where's the best place for people to find you?
The best place, we've got a guide of how to tell your story in the most effective way. You can download it at sigtalkguide.com, S-I-G, like signature talk, sigtalkguide.com. And you can get all of our information there. And the company Advance Your Reach and I'm the chief product officer at Advance Your Reach. We're helping people tell their stories every day to change lives. And we have a guide to help you do that. You can download it for free at sigtalkguide.com.
Perfect. And we'll put all that in the show notes, so it's real easy for people to find. Last question I have for you, we ask every guest because we want to help people find direction, but we believe in doing it through action. So I'm curious for you, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
The one thing is actually three things, and it's to get really clear on three stories. I think you've got to get really clear on the story of your past. And I think you have the power to rewrite that story, the story of your past. I think you may be telling it wrong. Tell the story of your past, of a story of empowerment and a story that grew you and a story that is you're thankful for because it got you to where you are. Second story you got to get really clear on is the story of your present, where you are right now. And I think you need to own that story. And I think you got to get good at telling that story. And then the third story that you need to get really clear on telling is the story of your future. And you get to write this one. And you can write it one direction or the other direction. And how you write that, so how you think about these three stories is going to determine your future. How you think about the story of your past, and you do get to write it. You get to include things that you want to include, focus on parts that you want to focus on, ignore and cut parts that you just don't want as part of your past. Just cut them out so that when you think about your past story, you own it. Think about where you are presently right now and highlight what you want to highlight. And then you get to write the story of your future. If you get in the next 48 hours, if you do nothing else but think about what is the story of my past, what do I tell others about my past? And more importantly, maybe what do I tell myself? What is the story of my present? How do I describe myself right now? And could I do that in a more powerful way? And then what's the story of my future? I get to write it. How do I want this story to turn out? You get clear on those three stories and you get to write them. You've got the power to write them. That is going to have a huge effect on the entire future of your life and how much you enjoy the present and the future.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Pat, it's been an honor to have you here, man. Thank you so much for your wisdom, your knowledge. Next time we'll get the magic trick. But thank you for being here, Pat. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's been great. Thanks.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend. You crushed it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. I just want to take a quick moment and say, give yourself a round of applause, a pat on the back for crushing it through another episode and saying, I am going to intentionally create a life that excites me, that I'm passionate about, and a life that really is fulfilling. Congratulations on crushing it through another episode. If you have enjoyed this episode, all I would ask as we wrap up today is please, 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 if you resonated with anything, leave us a review on iTunes, leave us a rating. If you are on Spotify, leave us a rating there as well. This is how we get this episode to more people, impact more lives, and really help more people on this planet do work that they are passionate about, that fulfills them, and ultimately create a happy and a beautiful life. So if you would do that for me, I would be extremely grateful. And other than that, everybody, I hope you have a phenomenal rest of your day, and we will see you on the podcast soon. Take care.